Time now for part two of our series on a project happening on the Ruamahanga River in South Wairarapa. Last time, the 9, 10 and 11-year-olds from Martinborough School were in their gumboots on the edge of the river, learning about bugs, fish and water quality. Well, we're back with them again on Waihenga Farm, which borders 6.5 kilometres of the river. It's right near midwinter, isn't it?
A few weeks
after our first visit to the river, with the same class, and we're just walking down a track on the Smith Farm. Where are we heading to, Jane?
We're going to the river again, to the Ruamahanga.
Jane Ridderford is one of the leaders of the project.
We're only a few miles downstream, and as the crow flies, we're probably a mile and a half from us, but the river really meanders a lot at this point. But we're very keen for the children to get a sense of connecting everything to the river, and that all the work in the wetland and the bush, they're all linked to the river.
And this is a special part of the river as well because of the remnant bush here.
Yeah, well, I think it's special in lots of ways. In these sand dunes, I'm not exactly sure of the location, but this is where the original Waihenga pa would have been. And there was a wetland here. I would say that this, in my view, is probably the most impressive piece of podocarp forest close to Martinborough. But like many of these little clutches of bush, has been grazed for many years, so the understory lost, and now it's been fenced and set aside as a QE2 block, and today we're helping to restore the understory.
The 4.5 hectare block we're heading to has been entrusted to the QE2 Trust, so no grazing and cropping here. Pete Smith is the farmer. His family has been farming here since the 1860s.
This was originally big kakatias and totras, and the surrounding farmland had scattered trees in it, and it's all pretty good farmland. It's all, you know, we grow maize and peas and other cash crops, so we surrendered this 4 hectares and made it into a QE2, but cleared the trees from the surrounding area so that we could crop it a bit more intensively. So that's how it came into being.
Trevor Thompson is from the Trust, and he kicks off by explaining his role.
What do I do? Well, I work with people like Pete, mostly farmers right throughout the Wairarapa, who have still got some native forests on their land, or a wetland, or a coastal area that's something special. And this is one of those very special places. And until maybe 10 years ago, this was grazed. But all these big trees here were all still there, but nothing else underneath them. So you guys today are going to help us do something really important, and that is getting in the understory. That's the smaller plants that are underneath, and that will make sure that these big guys will have little babies that can grow and take their place when these guys die of old age. And so what you're doing is something that is really, really, really important, and thank you so much for coming down today and giving us a hand, because that's look how many of you guys there are, look how many there are of me and Pete. Not many. So your help will be very much appreciated. So what I want you to do is grab a weapon and let's go into where we're going to plant, and I'll plant a plant for you. You can see how it's done, and then we're just going to get stuck in and get on with it, eh? Mm-hmm. Righto, follow me.
Let's go, kill some zombies.
Grab one and let's go.
There's a big one there right behind you. These ones here are called, anybody?
Big tree.
Tituki. Tituki. All right. These guys here, these are one of the hoheris or lacebarks, and this is hoheri.
After identifying the trees, it's time to give a lesson in tree planting.
And to make sure the hole is deep enough, that's not quite deep enough, eh? We want it to be a little bit deeper than that. Okay, got it? In the hole, you can hold it upright, bring the dirt in around it. And lastly, we're going to just press it down nice and firm, and that will make sure the plant doesn't fall over, right? Job done. Okay?
Yep.
Now the next plant is going to go, say, 2.5-3 steps away. So we go
1, 2, 3.
Oh, look, there's a nice little cleared area there. So that's the next
My name's Trevor Thompson.
So what I want you to do,
I'm the QE2 rep for the Wairarapa, and this little forested area here is a QE2 covenant, so that's how come we've got these lovely kids to come and give us a hand to enhance it.
How long has it been covenanted?
Probably about 10 years now. So some of these trees that aren't giants but are already big trees, they were planted quite early on and are already starting to fill in the niches that were wide open and needing to be filled.
And more is going in today?
Yep, probably another 100 or so. Many thousands more needed, but yes.
So how often do you get schools in to help out and volunteers?
This year and last year we've had quite a lot of schools, and probably put about 8,000 or 9,000 trees in the ground here in this QE2 covenant. So it's a trend that seems to be gathering pace, so we're all for that.
This ground's so tough, it almost bent the shovel.
Can you hold this?
I think it's great to have the kids out here in amongst these wonderful big podocarp trees.
Just watch your feet.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, stop.
They're not just a labour unit. We hope and I'm sure they will become engaged and enjoy their time here, most importantly, because if they enjoy being in the forest when they grow up to be big people, then they start looking after it. And if they didn't enjoy their time when they're kids, they won't look after it. So it's important they enjoy their time.
Oh no, there's a root there, like a big one.
Yeah. I should have said, if you come across a big tree root, just go to one side. We don't want to cut into that, right? So just go to one side.
Some spots are like of the ground's really hard, but it's really fun too.
It's really satisfying once you get a soft spot.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I think
fun.
It's lovely planting new trees and making nature.
And I think it's really fun because we get to experience nature.
And how do you know which plant to put in which place? Are you getting some instruction or are you just going for it?
Just going for it.
Do you know the names of these plants?
We know the colour one.
We know some of the plants.
Right, next spot over here for those who haven't got a place to plant. Nice work, guys. Good hard stomp. Oh, and somebody's done a few other new ones as well. That's great.
Okay.
Wait, is this a good spot?
Yes, it is. That's a great spot. Have you got a plant? You're gonna go and get another plant?
I'll go get one this week.
You're going to dig this one, are you? This remnant podocarp forest is probably the best example we have of what used to be here on all these plains that we're surrounded by now that are now in cattle or sheep or vineyards. There was big forest here, and this is one of those final remnants that gives us an indication of what once was. So it's very important that we grab it with both hands, protect it, get it to become reasonably intact so it's got its full complement of species, and then we have a great example and a place for lots of things to live. Geckos, skinks, birds. The genetic diversity of this area is pretty unique. This is a very dry area normally, but being close to the Ruamahanga here, we've got a lot of artesian water, and so that suited these big podocarps, and it's great to have that representative sample in place.
It's amazing that some of these trees, the bigger ones, did survive with all the grazing that took place underneath.
Yeah, it is.
What species are they?
We've got big matai, that one over there. We've got big totara, this guy here. We've got big kahikatea, that's that one over there.
What's this one?
We've got big pukatea. These guys aren't huge, but further through there's some big pukatea, telling us that this was actually a very wet area in the old days. It's not so wet now, but those big trees are still here. Big kowhai are in here as well, kowhai microphylla, and some big Plagianthus regius, ribbonwood. That's probably the complement of big mature trees here. But we've reintroduced a lot of the trees that we would have reasonably expected to be here, and the understory plants, which is really important. We've got to try and fill in these light wells, make this a closed canopy, and this area won't need our help.
When will that happen?
When will that happen? Or maybe a couple of hundred years in the future. Yeah, yeah, long-term job, yeah. Okay, how are we going?
Lucy, how's it going? What are you planting here?
Kawakawa.
Is it hard work?
I need Earl to kind of mush this up, but I think I got it. Yeah, it's quite hard sometimes. That's right, that's good.
Are you enjoying the day?
Yeah, I really like the first trip we did when we did all the bugs. That was definitely my favourite.
And what about this? This is quite different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you see a little bit of a connection?
Yeah.
To what you're doing?
From like all the eco stuff, yeah, type of things. Dad, could you mush this up?
I'm Courtney Miles and I'm the Year 5-6 teacher at Martin Burris School. I think connection to community and connection to place is really important. So the children, you know, giving a little bit of themselves to this place as they're planting and looking after the health. It's really nice seeing children working together as well and connecting with other members of the community. But we also take this back and turn it into literacy and numeracy projects that we do at school as well.
Do you do that straight away or do you wait a bit? How does it work?
I do it in the following weeks. So today we will go back and we'll write a recount about what we've done while it's fresh in our minds, and then we'll use that and I'll turn it into different maths and literacy tasks for the following week, as well as Jane and Rod come in and do literacy activities with the kids as well.
Is that too deep?
That's good.
That's about right.
Okay, that's about right.
For me, I just think the connection to community is the most important thing for the kids. So they're connecting with the place, they're connecting with each other, and they're connecting with other members of our community, which is so cool, and making those relationships that can help them in the future too.
And what is some of the feedback the children are giving you when they finish?
Oh, they just have huge smiles on their faces. They tell me that was so fun, we loved that, when are we going again? But also the learning, like when they came in here and we've been making some kawakawa balm at school, and straight away they went, oh, that's kawakawa, you know, and then they're looking for it out in the community, what can they use it for their whānau. But yeah, this is cool, they take it into their homes and try and make their homes better places too from what they learn here.
Okay,
let's go.
One down. Where's your one? Is that yours?
Yep,
my car.
What's your?
Down here.
No, we need some dirt around there.
Some of the children at Martinborough School. And I was speaking also to teacher Courtney Miles, QE2's Trevor Thompson, Farmer Pete Smith and Jane Ridderford. And the music in that piece was composed and played by Rod Sugden. You can hear part one of the series by going to our podcast notes and by checking out the story on the country section of RNZ's website.